You're listening to Health Matters with Karen Key, getting you one step closer to a clean bill of health.
Today is Rare Disease Day. Now, rare diseases include those of genetic origin. They're life-threatening in some cases, and they're chronic, or they could be chronically debilitating diseases. And I was going to say they are of such low prevalence that special combined efforts are needed to address them. But I was reading some information and it was actually quite amazing. It said they're not actually as rare as we think, because it's estimated that there are more than 300 million people worldwide who suffer from rare diseases. Well, to tell us more, I'm joined this evening by Kelly du Plessis, and she's the founder and CEO of Rare Diseases South Africa. Kelly, good evening. Welcome back to the show. Gosh, it's been an age since we spoke last.
I think it's probably been a year, Karen.
Possibly, last Rare Disease Day, yes. So, as I mentioned, you know, I'm always say it's rare disease, but there's 300 million people out there around the world with some or other form of a rare disease or a particular rare disease. And as the information I was reading was saying, two people could have the same condition, but possibly different symptoms or react differently, or it presents very differently in individual people.
Yeah, that's correct. In South Africa, there's an estimated 3.7 million South Africans affected by rare diseases, but many of them remain undiagnosed. So doctors know that there is something rare, but because diagnostics are so poor in this country, they don't actually get a definitive diagnosis. And you're 100% correct in saying that the same disease can affect two people in very, very different ways.
It just makes it very much more difficult then for a diagnosis to be forthcoming, because initially possibly some of the symptoms would look like a regular, normal, possible, whatever else they, you know, a regular thing that they were diagnosed, not something that was rare. So it's very difficult, and therefore, you know, possibly, you know, getting treatment, if there is any available, or even a recognition of the condition, is, it really must be, take years sometimes.
Yeah, the average time for diagnosis is 7.2 years in a rare disease patient. So, I mean, that just goes on to show how long that actually takes. And it is, you know, the symptoms, out of, say, 10 symptoms per condition, some patients will only initially start presenting with maybe 4 or 5. And they're not always definitive conditions, definitive symptoms. So they might relate, something like pulmonary hypertension might look very much like asthma for many, many years.
There was a young lady in Cape Town who had pulmonary hypertension, and it was something I spoke to her about. She sadly has passed away now, but I spoke to her before that, when she was writing matric at the time, and it was one of those things also, it took forever to diagnose her, and then the treatment was, I think it was ridiculous, because she had to get the treatment from America. It wasn't even available in South Africa.
Correct. That patient would have been Jenna.
Yes,
though,
yes.
And that is the challenge that is faced with many of our patients, is that when there is a treatment available, which is only the case really for 5% of all rare conditions, is that the drugs are generally never manufactured here locally, and they are always being imported from overseas at huge cost.
And then there's always the thing about importing them and the Medicines Control Council, and it literally, they don't try and make it any easier for people either.
No, you literally feel like a circus monkey trying to jump through a million hoops. And the sad reality is that these patients, the quality of life that is a result of being on medication, it really takes patients from being like 5% functional to 80% functional. I mean, the improvement is huge and it's vast. And it's not like taking, you know, a headache tablet where you can still function and you just feel a bit better. It really, really makes a huge difference. But sadly, it's just not accessible to so many people.
Is this because there are, supposedly, I mean, I was amazed by the 300 million people worldwide, but I suppose worldwide there's not that many in each country, possibly. And it's not financially viable, is that, am I correct in thinking, for companies to bring the medication in?
It's more research and development costs that are so hugely expensive because of the fact that there's such a limited patient pool to do clinical trials. So, and a lot of the time, it's groundbreaking treatment that starts. So it's new generation therapies, things such as gene therapy, enzyme replacement therapy, were all developed particularly for treatment of a rare condition. So the research and development costs are huge. And the patent on rare disease, on orphan drugs, is half of what it is on normal drugs. So they've got half the amount of time to recover three times the research and development costs.
Gosh, but besides all of that, I mean, that is one huge part of it. But because you are now possibly you or a family member or a child, because I think it's approximately 50% of the people affected with rare diseases are actually children. So that in itself as a family, it must be very isolating.
Absolutely. That was one of my reasons for starting rare diseases in the first place, was the fact that I as a mother felt so isolated and alone, and it was my desperate need to actually connect with other people and just hear other people's stories and feel a little less lonely, that culminated into what is now Rare Diseases South Africa.
And the other thing about knowing that, as you say, there's somebody else out there, first of all, you're not alone, and you've got somebody else to talk to about that. And do you offer support groups?
Yes, we do. So we focus on a national level on patient advocacy, and then we support groups so that they can do dedicated disease work. So it's hugely important, not only for the isolation, overcoming that feeling of loneliness, but also for practical advice. There's certain things that come from living with the condition day in and day out that doctors will never be able to give you practical information on. It literally requires living it and experiencing it for you to be able to get that knowledge. So that is one of the fundamental reasons why support groups are so important.
And Rare Diseases South Africa works quite closely with Genetic Alliance South Africa. Tell me a little bit about that, because I think 80% of rare diseases are of genetic origin.
Correct. And it is actually on Friday's World Defects Day as well. So Genetic Alliance and I, there's a huge overlap, obviously, in the work that we do because of the fact that so many of our diseases are genetic. So it just made logical sense for us to join forces in many ways. So we do focus a lot of our advocacy work together. And I mean, it's a great relationship that's developed, and there's such a desperate need in terms of genetics across South Africa. Genetics are hugely underreported, and it leaves those families, even with the more common conditions like Down syndrome, Klippe feet, cleft palate, they're still battling for services. So it just made sense for us to focus on the same goals.
Now, over the weekend, you had the Denim Walk, and that was, other than being a whole lot of fun, also very much of an awareness campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. There was great synergy in, we didn't map out routes, so patients had an unmapped journey to walk, which is very, very similar to what we face on a daily basis. But at the Botanical Gardens in Johannesburg, there's also quite a big climb up to the waterfalls. And I think that really just symbolized what our patients go through on a daily basis, that we just have to keep slogging it up this long mountain. But when you get to the top, you do have this overwhelming sense of relief and enjoyment. So, you know, the days might be long and hard, but there is a reason for it at the end of the day. And we do actually enjoy those moments of success.
Part of the awareness campaign was also not just to get the public to be more aware of some of these conditions that we're dealing with, that people who have, you know, rare diseases are dealing with, but also the decision makers, people who actually could make such an enormous difference in the lives of these people.
Correct. I mean, Karen, since the last time we chatted, we've obviously had the first rare disease conference take place in South Africa, which took place in October last year. And that resulted in a formation of a patient health charter specifically for rare diseases, which was ratified by the African Union. So it was a huge step forward for us as a rare disease community to be recognized and to map out what we as patients expect from our healthcare services. So it's been a great leap forward for us as a community, and we are just hoping that that goes from strength to strength and really, really helps patients in terms of accessing the services that they need so desperately.
How easy is it for people to access just general services at possibly a public hospital?
I'm going to be honest with you, it's virtually impossible. You're battling there's so many dynamics, lack of education amongst doctors, lack of awareness, lack of diagnostic facilities, lack of funding, and generalized lack of time and resources. They're under capacity. So it makes it hugely difficult. Our conditions are not easy to treat. Generally speaking, it's not a case of, you know, take a dose of medication for 5 days and you'll feel better. These are long-term chronic illnesses, and the treatment plans often change. So once you've implemented a specific treatment where you're focusing on a specific symptom, once that's been resolved, you then focus on the next symptom that's bothering you. And so these are lifelong diseases, and they take up a hell of a lot of time to treat. And I think that that is one of the major pitfalls in terms of specifically state hospitals, is the fact that they're so under-resourced.
And I'm assuming, being so specific, the treatment or the medication, the financial toll on these families must be enormous.
If you consider just what it is, the cost of these families getting to hospital on a weekly basis, it is huge. It is often a 100 rand taxi fare for the primary caregiver, which is very often the gorgo or the granny, as well as the patient, on a return trip once a week. That often involves somebody having to take a day off work, so that has its own financial impact. And then it's the primary caregiver is very often looking after other children, so they're having to pay for alternative daycare, et cetera, for these days that the children are at hospital, the patients are at hospital. So it's those sort of socioeconomic factors that are very often forgotten about when determining the overall cost of treating rare diseases. It's not only the medication, it's a lot of social support that goes into it as well.
What can we as the general public do to assist?
So the one thing is to be aware. I think if you are a patient, employee, friend, sibling, who is associated with anybody that has a rare condition, it's just to have an understanding of what these patients go through. And the second thing is to obviously get involved. Fundraising is hugely important because it helps resolve so much practical need that is out there for these patients. So whether it is getting involved in our rare activist teams, which run, swim, cycle, jog, walk, there's those ways, there's volunteering at events, there's monetary donations, service donations, and then also just to be aware and give a helping hand where necessary. If you're aware of a patient who needs to get to hospital and you're going in that direction, offer to give them a lift. If you can pick up medication for somebody, you know, a little bit of helping hands every now and again really, really goes a long way in terms of helping these patients cope.
And I'm sort of saying, if there's anybody listening out there now who is feeling all alone, hadn't really realized there was an organization like this to assist you, what would they do, Kelly? What would their first step be?
The best way to get hold of us is via our website, which is rarediseases.co.za. Alternatively, we are active on all social platforms. They can reach out to us by tweets, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it. We get the messages, and we will then give them the step-by-step process to register. And thereafter, they'll be put in touch with other patient support groups. They'll get notifications of all our upcoming awareness activities, etc., and they can really become a part of the community.
And that's the other thing. You know, you have these activities and things. People can get out of the house, because a lot of the time, I think you're kind of stuck there.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, something like the Denim Walk that we had this weekend, it wasn't a dedicated start time, because for many of these families, A, to get somewhere at a particular time is difficult because they're all very schedule-orientated. But also many of these children can't handle being in large crowds, and obviously the disability factor kicks in. So, you know, you have accessibility issues. So we are very, very relaxed environment in terms of that, to encourage our patients as much as possible to partake.
But just to know there is somebody out there, there is a group of people that are willing to help you. If you are needing any help, or you're feeling alone, or you didn't realize that there were people like this out there, they are out there and they're ready and waiting to help you. So I will give out that website again. And as Kelly said, on all social media platforms, Rare Diseases South Africa, just have a look. You'll find them everywhere, and they'll be only too willing to help you. Kelly, I wish you much success in the work that you're doing, a remarkable work that you've done just in the short time since I spoke to you last. Incredible. So, and continue to do that. I'm sure there's so many people grateful for the work that the association does, or the organization does, and continue to do that.
And thank you very much, Karen, for having me.
And thank you for your time. Kelly du Plessis is the founder and CEO of Rare Diseases South Africa. And for more information, as I said, the website rarediseases.co.za, and across all social media platforms.